7 years ago, I met a young lady who, at the time, was a young teenager. Her story was one of great heartache, and if you can imagine for a moment, to listen to her story is almost incomprehensible. The choices others made to impact her in a negative way had created the most angry kid I'd met in years. She had been abused by her family, passed from relative to relative. She had gone through great neglect, then abandonment and rejection, heartache and pain. And so 7 years ago as a young teenager, she obviously found herself so angry at life, so angry at God, so angry at every circumstance. Well, 7 years have passed. It's a perfect number, a perfect opportunity to be able to have a chance to impact this young lady, now grown and off away from the orphanage for several years. A few weeks ago, she wrote me, said, "Is there any chance I could come to the camp that you're teaching at?" I was shocked. I was shocked. The last time I saw her at a camp as a teenager, she said to me, "You make me so angry, I don't want to talk to you again." So I was kind of shocked she wanted to come be at camp with me all week. And so as she showed up at camp, I saw her, I had a chance to interact with her. But on Thursday night, she came up to me and she said to me, "I learned something this week. I learned that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And even though I have been through great heartache, I realized He's the only choice I can make that makes any sense." Well, you can imagine what joy filled my heart as I realized here's someone who had been willing to listen to instruction. And it's quite intriguing. While there, we teach in different groups, teach in different moments. While in Romanian, I taught a group of people that I was trying to instruct them on certain things. And so I asked her in one of the sessions, what's the most important thing you've ever learned from all the dialogue we've had? And she came right back to the same thing, a realization that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what happened to her was instruction became a part of her story. I can't wait for the day when I have the privilege of being able to see her take that next step in obedience. Well, the week was amazing. Yesterday, this morning, I got a message from someone who'd been at camp, and I wrote them back, and I said, "I want to ask you one question. What is it God taught you this week?" And it's interesting what they said. "I learned that with Jesus in my heart, everything is possible. I just have to let Him in." I thought, what a great testimony. Well, I was flying home yesterday, and as I mentioned to you, a little bit of time zone difference, and I was flying home, and I looked up, and a guy was on the other side of the plane, but was dying on the plane. He had gone into what appeared to be a stroke, what appeared to be the end of his life. Well, you can imagine, I'm sitting there on the plane, on the other side of the plane, watching this all unfold. And I went up front to ask the purser on the plane. I said, "Man, is there anything I can do?" I said, "I've got baby aspirin and I've got nitroglycerin. And I can give either one of those to him if he needs them." And he said, "We're not sure what he needs yet. We just know we're this close to putting this plane on the ground somewhere to get him off the plane." Well, as the flight unfolded, they got him made an announcement. Said, "Are there any doctors on this plane who could come and help us with somebody who is struggling?" This man had gone so close to eternity that he didn't know anyone, including his wife, who was standing in front of him. That's how close he was. And five doctors were on that particular plane. Which, remember this, if you're in need, He knows it. He'll put somebody in your path to help you. And I watched these doctors as they meticulously helped bring this guy back to life. Now, obviously, they had to take him off the plane at the end of the flight. He landed in Atlanta like I did. And I thought to myself, he goes off to a hospital, I come home to a church. How I thank God for His provision for watching over my life as well as his life. But when you think about that, those doctors began to give him instructions. He didn't understand anything. He looked at his wife and said, "Who are you?" He looked at the doctors like in amazement that anybody would be touching him or trying to help him. But it's interesting what happened. Then they put this oxygen mask on his face. And that oxygen began to go inside of his body. And all of a sudden, he starts coming to life, looking at his wife and knowing who she is, looking at doctors, knowing that they care. You see, the truth is, in all those stories, they have the same similarity. And that is, when you have instruction and you heed it, God uses it to change your life and to transform your life. So today we look at the second core value that's entitled instruction, the way and the truth. And you'll notice in this particular title, in John 14, it's here that Jesus finds his disciples. They're confused, they're overwhelmed, they don't know what to do. It's almost like he has been teaching them that they don't get it. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to listen to. And then all of a sudden, he tells them something that completely startles their thought process, overwhelms their mind. And I can assure you, yesterday on the plane, as I was watching that other guy, it made me walk more. It made me drink more water. One of the doctors walked by and I said, I just had heart surgery just recently. And she said, take your aspirin and drink your water, and kept on moving. I was like, well, thanks for the instruction here. You really helped me a lot. And yet the reality is, I was sitting there thinking as I was watching him, you never know what it is, what circumstance you're going to face. And for the disciples, they faced a circumstance that they had no idea what to do. Listen, if you would, and look if you would in John 13, verse 36 first. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. And then Jesus goes into one of the most intimate and key teachings that he teaches throughout the Gospel of John, because it's here in chapter 14, verse 1. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, look what he says there in verse 1. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, through all the time that Jesus has been instructing those who are closest to him, they haven't been listening to all his instructions. And you know, that's how we are in life and time, and in life at time. We hear something, but we don't always listen to all the instructions. We don't hear everything that God has for us. We just hear what we want to hear. And so they're all sitting there having this amazing life. You see, Jesus said, I came to give you life, give it to you abundantly in John 10:10. He's giving them an awareness, hey, the thief's going to steal everything you have if you're not careful. But if you'll stay with me, you'll have an abundant life. By the time he gets to John 14, he's grabbing hold of their thought process. He's grabbing hold of how they are thinking, and he's trying to help them realize something. This whole story doesn't end here on earth. The story doesn't end here. Jesus came so that we could have life, but he also came that we could have eternal life. That's why when you get inside of the Gospel of John, 15 different times he brings to light this idea of eternal life. Why? Because our lives are like that. They're like a vapor. And so my question for you today is this. I want you to think about this in light of how you live your life. How do you follow instructions? When it comes to your own life, your own story, how easy do you follow them? And you see, throughout my lifetime, I've struggled at reading instructions because I just think I can figure something out, put it together, and make it happen. But the reality is, it's very difficult. And our nephew recently was interviewing for a job and interviewing with a fantastic company, fantastic opportunity. And the guy who was interviewing him said, young man, I have a challenge for you. And he took a bag of Legos. He poured the Legos in front of him, and he said, build me an airplane. Well, you can imagine his first thought was, wow, what am I going to do? He said, you only have 30 minutes to build the plane. He almost built an entire plane. When he finished the interview, the guy had only given him a few instructions. When he finished the interview, the guy looked at me and said, you have a job because you followed instructions. And he said, I have some people that when I put the Lego piece in front of them, they sit there 30 minutes and just look at them, thinking, not me, not now. And the truth of the matter is, you think about it, what was he doing? He was testing his skill set because the job he was getting required him to be able to think with his head, but work with his hand. And let me tell you what Jesus does here. He wants to give instructions where you think with your heart and you experience what God intends for you. And when you experience what he intends for you, then you start thinking the right way. So as you think about that today, in verses 5 and 6, look if you would, because Thomas comes to him and said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father but through me." And so what is he doing here? He's offering these clarifying instructions so that he could ensure they had core life instruction, core life principles to guide their life, core life convictions. So he gave them these clarifying rules. And he says, "I'm three things to everybody who wants it. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." In other words, I meet you at the point of those three areas of your life. And we're going to see today why Jesus said that, what was his purpose, what was his intent, and how he used that to set in motion our lives having meaning and purpose. So he gave these clarifying instructions so that Thomas wouldn't doubt, watch it, so that Peter wouldn't misunderstand what was happening, and all the disciples would know that what he wanted for each one of us is to live our lives understanding that there is a plan, that God has something for it, that he wants to work inside of each one of our lives. And so, what happened to them at the end of John 13 and the beginning of John 14? They had been captured by confusion. They got confused because here's how their story read out. Their story read out that everything fits into a real simple scenario. But the truth is, that's not true. Confusion had captured their mind, and as a result, all of a sudden, they had to have instruction that would open their hearts up to transformation. Because here's what Jesus wanted. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." So here's what happens. When our heart gets stirred, something happens inside of us that's transformational. If it's just in our mind, we do get confused. We don't always understand. We don't always grasp what it is that God wants to show us. And today I want you to think about what would happen if you were able to grasp exactly what he wants you to do, but it was not because you could think it. It was because you could feel it in your heart. And what Jesus was doing was, he was getting across to them, there are not five ways to accomplish this. There's one way, and I am the way. And so confusion was a part of their whole story. And if you'll think about it for a moment, oftentimes we find ourselves confused. But why is instruction important? Because instruction is allowing us to understand from God how to live our lives. And it's interesting because this week, I want to just have you turn back in your Bible just for a second. And I want to show you something that grabbed me in this week and carried me through. David, who obviously understood life, in Psalm 32... In Psalm 32, David begins to reflect on the way God works, the way God instructs us, the way God guides us. And I want you to think about this verse in light of where you are in any circumstance you're facing. Look, if you would, Psalm 32 and verse 6. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found." And I want to tell you, this week, this hit me so hard. As I think about when we live a life filled with instruction, watch this, it leads us to a godly life. And the godly life allows us to seek the Lord in a time when he can be found. There's something powerful and profound about that thought. So all week I thought about keeping a focus on knowing that God's going to speak to each one of you. And today if you're here and maybe you're going through something and you need instruction, you need to know which way to turn. You need to know how to move forward. You need to know that whatever pain you have had in your past, it cannot steal your future unless you let it. Whatever circumstance you found yourself in that's led you to confusion, it does not take away your potential for the life God has in store for you. It's all a matter of taking application of God's word and letting it be lived out inside of who you are. So I want you to imagine today as you think about that, here is this story unfolding. And what you really see is, Jesus is trying to give them a treasure, okay? And the treasure he's trying to give them is a treasure of truth because it is a priceless possession. And one of the things that I do while I'm off with kids at this camp is I hide stones that have scripture verses on the stone. Different stones, different verses. Obviously, John 14 was one of those stones. And I hide them all over this campground. It's at the Precept Conference Center for Eurasia. Beautiful place for the kids to be. And a beautiful place to be removed from the world they live in. And so some of them get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to start looking for stones before the sun comes up. And you can give them instruction. You can give them all kinds of clues. But only those who are diligent discover the stone. One young man found 4 stones because he didn't give up. And what I want you to think about today is, what if you're looking for something and the only key to the entire pursuit is not giving up? Not giving up. And so what you discover is that sometimes things are hidden. We have to bring them out of our hearts and lives so that we know what it is God's trying to say to us. And so as you think about that, I want you to look at this passage with me, because when you see this truth that comes, Jesus obviously gave a couple really important aspects of life that are key to you and me, all right? And I want you to think about this in light of what kind of instruction you receive. So let's think just for a second, because what we're building in our small groups on Sunday morning, what we're building in our learning process, is that there are 5 core values that allow someone to discover and understand who Jesus is, how he can work in our lives, and what he wants to do. So let's think about this. He wants us to have faith in him, all right? That faith in him allows us to experience life the way he intended. He wants us to receive instruction. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us, watch this, to obey him. And he wants us together to experience community. And so when you read this text today, you realize something. Jesus was trying to get them to realize that if your faith is in me, then the instruction you receive will get you exactly where you're supposed to go. So let's look first of all, because what does Jesus do? He said, I'm building a house for you. I'm building a place for you to live. I'm building a place for you to dwell. And here's what I want you to see. Because when you think about your own life, what Jesus does, he gives a promise, God's promise for our future, because his promise assures our hearts today. So here's what Jesus has said. Jesus said, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm getting ready to head out, and I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to have a chance to be able to tell you everything. You can't go with me now. And because Peter said, I want to go now. Why would I want to wait? And I want you to imagine for a moment, as you think about your own life, what powerful assurance Jesus gives us in John 14. Because notice what he says here. In verse 2, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. You know what's interesting? He does tell you what you need to know. It's interesting because sometimes he speaks to you in a very small voice, speaks to your heart, speaks to your life, speaks to who you are. And what happens when you hear that? It just gets a hold of your entire life, hope, direction, and peace. And whatever. It's interesting. Think about it for a second. When you get instructed and you know exactly what you're supposed to do, what does it do for you? You find yourself confident to move forward, confident to follow instructions exactly as they're given to you. When I travel abroad, you have to follow instructions very carefully, because if you don't, you end up in the wrong place and the wrong part of the airport. And this summer I was traveling, and there's a particular place where you have to go upstairs instead of down. And I had all this luggage and everything, and I was carrying it. And I had a 25-pound limit with a 60-pound worth of stuff. So I was thinking, okay, what do I do? Maybe I can justify this 30 pounds in this arm and 30 pounds in this arm. But the reality is that it was more of the weight than I could bear. But if I didn't follow the instructions, I had to go all the way out of the airport and come back in the airport. And so there was a guy that was on the same flight. So I was starting up. Seriously, where are you going? I said, I've got a connecting flight. And he said, you sure you're going the right way? I said, yeah, I've done it before. I said, you follow me, you'll get where you're supposed to be. He said, I'm following you. And it was interesting, because every time he came, one of those little machines that tells you where the flights are going, he'd stop and check. He didn't trust me because he didn't know me. All right? Here's the difference. When you know him, you can trust him, because he's going to guide you exactly where you're supposed to go. So he gives us this assurance so that our hearts are at peace. And what does he do for it? The first thing he does, he makes sure we know our troubles are answered in truth, not in somebody's opinion. Our troubles, God brings an answer to whatever it is that we're facing. They're answered in truth. Today, if you think about your own life, if you're facing something that troubles you, that seems to get the best of you. And then all of a sudden you realize, Jesus said, I'm just the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Let me come into your world. What happens is that assurance in your heart gives you great comfort to know, you know what? He's with me no matter what. But he doesn't just give you that assurance about your troubles. The second thing is he gives us a very clear awareness that our home is prepared. I don't know if you ever had this happen, but if someone shows up at your house unannounced and your house is not completely in order, what's your first thought? Man, I need to prepare my house. And you want to say, wait just a moment and at least throw everything in the closet. You want to clear everything out of the way. And why? Because you don't want someone else to see that your house is not prepared for them. I want you to think about this for a moment. How often is your spiritual house not prepared? Because, watch this, you've been discouraged, you've been disappointed, you've been deceived. And here's what Jesus is getting across. The home he's prepared for us is the answer to everything that ever discourages us, everything that ever could deceive us, everything that ever disappoint us. I want you to think about this. In your own life, if someone assessed you, if someone made an assessment, and they made that assessment based in the condition of your heart, your home, Jesus inside your home, would they find you with multiple disappointments and multiple moments of discouragement? Or would they find you with direction and hope, joy and love, security resting inside of you because you know where you're going at the end of your story? What's most despairing about that plane flight home yesterday was to realize that that man probably had no idea about his eternity. Because sometimes we live only for now and we forget tomorrow. But there's always a tomorrow, and tomorrow is when Jesus will ultimately call all of us home. Someday we get a chance to be able to see him face to face. But our homes, what I love about this is in my Father's house are many places. Many places, and you'll notice there, he makes it very clear, for I go to prepare a place for you. Aren't you glad he goes ahead of you? I mean, you don't want to get ahead of him. Aren't you glad he goes ahead of you? I mean, here's what I want you to think about today. As you think about your own life, our eternity is assured because our faith in him transforms our lives. I told you about the kid who wrote me this morning, and I asked the greatest lesson they learned about Jesus living inside of their heart, knowing that all things are possible. What I didn't tell you was that she was a little girl growing up with her sister in a home that her mother abandons them. Her father remarries. And the condition of marriage by the second wife is you have to get rid of these kids. And they put them in an orphanage. They've never seen their parents again. So you can imagine abandonment, but finding security in Christ. You see, for the boys and girls who were listening, they found who Jesus is, what he can do. But that's not where Jesus stops the story. Yes, he gives an answer, but I want you to look at something secondly, because the answer he gives was he gives the answer to their confusion, all right? Because Thomas is confused, the disciples are confused, everyone's confused. And when you get confused, it's overwhelming, because you don't know which way to turn. And so Jesus looks at them and says, okay, here's what I want you to get. I'm the way, the truth, and life. All right, so let's think about each one of these. I'm the way. What is the way? This is how to find God. In other words, if I know the way, I can find him. Then he says, I'm the truth. That's how we learn about God. It's how he becomes a part of who we are. We start learning. I'm the truth. And what the truth does is the truth sets in motion our ability to see and understand instruction in such a way that our hearts get changed. That's why whenever I read the Bible, I'm always hearing something from him, because the instruction, he's the truth, all right? And so what you think about today is you get this instruction, you go, you know what, I want to apply this to my heart and life. Today I want you to think about, what if he gave you an instruction that's absolutely clear, but you got confused by something you were facing, and you started yielding back to something less than that. What happened to you? You miss what it is he has for your life. And I want you to think about what Jesus is trying to say. I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm these three things that everybody who chooses to live for me. If you don't choose to live for me, then you miss it. Then he talked about he's the life. All right, so what is that all about? It's how we are secure in God. You see, our security rests in knowing that our life rests in his hands. Don't you love that thought? That our security doesn't rest in ourselves, doesn't rest in what we possess. It rests in who holds us, who owns our heart. And so I want you to imagine today, as you're thinking about your own life, think about if you woke up tomorrow morning and said, Lord, today you're going to be the way, you're going to be the truth, you're going to be the life. I'll tell you what happened. You'd have a better day. No circumstance could get the best of you. No confusion could overwhelm you. No pain could get you away from God's purpose. You just wake up saying, Lord, you're the way, you're the truth, the life. I want to challenge you this week to think about that. Every day when you wake up, right when you first wake up in the morning, wake up and say this, Lord, I know you're the way. I know you're the truth. I know you're the life. You see, he was the answer to all their confusion. And I'm going to tell you, you can look for 1,000 self-help books on every Barnes & Noble in the world. They're not as profound as what Jesus says in John 14. They might have you more help you have a more positive mental attitude. They might have you have better disposition about what it is you're facing in life, but they won't change your heart. And when Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, he knew something. He knew there was something powerful he wanted to do inside of their life. One final thing I want you to see. And I want you to be thinking about this as you process through what we talked about today. Because we saw a story today in the baptismal waters of what happened when little Levi entrusted his heart to Jesus. And let me tell you, the most profound moment for me was before we went in the water, he looked at me and he was talking, very articulate, by the way. Very impressed how articulate he is. He said, I gave my heart to Jesus in April. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what? He knows when he got saved. He knows why he got saved. And now he knows that he's obeying God and what it is God said to him. And you see, the truth of the matter is we need to all have that same kind of awareness. When he touched our hearts, why he touched our hearts, how he touched our hearts. Because when you get that, what happens? Your life becomes more profound and more powerful. Third thing I want you to see, but by the way, this instruction that God gave, this answer to their confusion, led to instruction. All right, so three things I want you to see very quickly. First of all, instruction gives light to those who are looking for answers. So if you're not looking for answers, in other words, if you just get up and say, you know, I'm going to read the Bible today, I hadn't read in several months, I think I'll just read something. You just open your Bible up at some page. The truth is, it might inspire you for a moment. I mean, you may look at it and, I open my Bible just now, I just took it open to 2 Kings chapter 21. And it's interesting because in that passage is when Josiah is king and they've been looking for the Bible everywhere. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 22 verse 8 that the high priest, they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. In other words, they found something that had been hidden. And I'm going to give you an interesting testimony. On Friday morning, I bought 7 Bibles. And I just wanted to see how quickly word would get out that I had 7 Bibles I was giving away. Because I wanted to see if they had a hunger for God's word. You know how quickly I gave those Bibles away? 7 minutes. 7 Bibles, 7 minutes. And as I watched these kids, every one of them, when I handed a Bible to you, I said, you got to promise me you'll read the Bible. And they would hold the Bible, and I would make them realize that you have to hold on to it until you look at me and say, promit. Promise. Promise me you will. So on Thursday night, the boy comes to me and he says, you know what? I've been smoking. I have been living bad. I don't know what to do. He said, I want to do what you said. I want Jesus to be the way and true life. He said, I want to give up everything. I said, oh, good. You do? Are you sure? Yes, yes. Being a da, da, da. And I said, okay. So I opened my Bible. I said, John 14. I said, put your hand on my Bible. He said, why do I do that? I said, you made a promise. Let's see how serious you are about it. I said, you don't want to put your hand on my Bible unless you really want to quit smoking. And he looked at me, and for a moment he hesitated. And then all of a sudden he put his hand on my Bible and made a promise that he would stop doing the thing that would destroy his body. You see, instruction, 7 Bibles, 7 minutes. I thought about that in light of our wonderful land we live in. 80% plus do not even open their Bible between Sundays. And the hunger that we should have for God's word, it's a way of instruction. Second thing I want you to see, not only the instruction he gives that guides us, but he also instruction he gives us to for hope in the darkness. Because sometimes we have dark moments, sometimes we have difficult moments. And it's important for us to find that instruction that God has for us. Those instructions are powerful. The third and final thing I want you to think about today is that instructions give direction to those who've lost their way. And it may be you're here today and you've lost your way. Maybe you need some core values to operate with. And when you think about this, it all comes down to, do you treasure God's word in your heart? And if you're here and you realize something, you watched as we baptized, you realize you've never made that decision. You've never moved in that direction. If you're here and you're looking for His hope for your life, whatever it is you're looking for, we can help you. What baptism is a picture for you that everybody needs. If you don't have that picture, then there's always something missing inside of your heart. It doesn't save you, doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is knowing Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and letting Him live inside of you. But if you're here today and you need to make a decision to follow Him, perhaps you need to become a part of our family and God speaking to your heart that way. If that's the case, I want to invite you to respond and experience what it is God has for your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the promise of instruction that guides our lives. Thank You for the power of what Jesus said being the way, the truth, and life. That is the hope, the instruction we need to be a disciple, to follow You. So Lord, bless us as we follow You and obey You in these moments. Let these moments be precious before You. For I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.